There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Put Jonah's headphones on. His arm is still in a sling.
I can't. Like I can.
Oh, man, don't do that. You'll hurt.
Every time I see you move your arm, I just wince.
Yeah, I'm finding more ways to like the areas I can move it. The positions I can do and the motions I can
do.
It sucks. It sucks real bad. Hmm. Are we recording or?
Yeah, yeah. We're recording.
Oh shit.
There you go.
Matt's cool. Shit. I'm totally tough, and it's nothing, guys.
Everything's fine.
You're
always
so tough. There she goes.
Ta, ta, ta,
we just recorded with Dana D'Armond, which will go up sometime in the next month or so.
Future times.
But we're backed up on quite a few
we are.
Guested episodes.
But not on the Hostful episode.
No, which we need to get on. So
yes, we do. It's hard to do those in a row, though.
It is. Because like we were going to do a couple today, but then I wanted to get Dana on. Because she did the Star Trek Next Generation porn parody, which was fascinating to me. And then Nathan Fillion said, can I come on this weekend? And I said, sure. And so that is another reason why so next week we'll try to bank a couple. But I kind of like that we're doing it week to week because it keeps the topic current.
That's
but
true.
What I'm weary of is when you're out of town and like...
Well, then people can fucking relax.
Yeah, relax, people.
Not heroes battle on.
I met a fan in Whole Foods.
You got recognized!
Hey. In Whole Foods. I wasn't even wearing the Nerdist Podcast t-shirt like I usually do.
Oh, good.
And his name was Kyle. Kyle, thanks.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for watching, all right?
Okay, thanks for shopping organic, Kyle. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Spending more money at Whole Foods than you would at a fancy dinner.
See you around the salad bar, Kyle.
Hey, you guys
want
some...
That's where I met him.
Hey, you guys want to... Let's go out and get some kombucha and some quinoa.
Sounds good to me, but first I got to pick up some already shelled edamame. Who has time, right, fellas? Who has time?
I certainly
Who's
do
got
not.
Time for Hulzer Palm? Yeah. Who's got time for a gluten-free pizza crust? Actually, I have
plenty of
time for that. But
someone has a Nerdist tattoo.
What?
Jenna Opfer has a. Is that the one from Addison, Texas?
No, the girl in Addison is. She has an Enjoy Your Burrito tattoo.
All right. Well, Jenna Opfer, I have a Nerdist tattoo. I love this show more than is healthy.
That's probably correct. Now that you have
the
a
girl
tattoo.
That has the girl that has the Enjoy Your Burrito tattoo on her wrist. His name is Bryn because I heard Twitter handle is Bryn Sane. I think.
Yeah, that made me feel weird.
Really?
I think it's awesome. Just like because like it immediately made me think of like the moment where I thought of that, which is like it came of a pathetic moment, like you know, like it
but
was
it's helping people. Yeah.
It is, and I'm glad for it, but just it put me right back. Like when I was like, hey, I gotta enjoy my burrito, and you know, like
he was genuinely affected by it. But I was with him.
Yeah,
and he was like, oh,
it kind of blew my world. You know, just like there I was, 19 years old. San Pedro, California, at the Baja Fish on Gaffey.
Were you counting down the 40?
Coming out to you at number 9.
Here it comes, another bite, better than the last. Oh, hello, avocado. You seem to be healthy in this portion.
Were you narrating the burrito?
I can't come out of a goddamn up-tempo song.
Sorry. Talk about a goddamn dog dying.
Is Don on the phone? I want to see those pictures I'm supposed to sign.
Google Casey Kasem freak out if you don't know what we're talking about. And then enjoy.
Enjoy it. You're welcome.
Yes, Internet. Indeed. This was a fun weekend for me. I went to Gallifrey 1 this past weekend.
That's right.
You, by the way, I loved that you wore the tenant suit and the glasses.
It was very important for me to go.
It looked fantastic.
And you know, and what made me feel so good about Gallifrey 1 is the largest Doctor Who convention in North America. It happens in LA at the Airport Marriott, which sounds funny, but it was nicer than I thought it was going to be.
They have good facilities.
And so it's Gallifrey 1 is not so much like Comic-Con in the sense that there's not like a big convention hall with a bunch of booths. There are different conference rooms that are all just sort of, you know, happening together. So there is a dealer's room. There is an autograph room. There are panels going on all over. I got my picture taken with Peter Davison, who was there. Tennant's father-in-law. And so I had to, I wanted to go dressed as, because I think I'm of all the doctors, I'm the most Tennant-esque.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And so,
thanks, man. You're very lanky.
And so I did the Tennant thing, and I knew I was in the right place when just the shorthand speak when people come up and go, "Hey, nice ten," and I know exactly what they're talking about. I felt so at home. It was lovely.
Even when you were a six,
time.
You're still a ten.
he even gelled his hair up.
I put my glasses on.
Oh, nice.
I had the sonic screwdriver.
You know, Danforth France.
I saw him there.
Oh,
and Chris Gore.
Really?
Chris Gore was there too. My friends Gabe and Etta were there too. I had friends who were.
Yeah, Danforth France says when he's having a bad day, he keeps his sonic screwdriver in his coat because it just makes him feel better. And I was like, you are an adorable lonely man.
I have them both sitting at home next to my TARDIS bank and DeLorean, just in case time traveling needs to happen.
Nice
on your desk.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Now
where am I supposed to keep it?
I don't know.
All you need is a Jules Vernian time pod in your living room that you can make as a chair, but then you could close it, and then in the event you could put the time key in.
Exactly. I'm into it.
Careful, though.
But Gallifrey 1 was super fun.
I want to go next year. I want to go next year.
You should.
Yeah, I was busy working. Otherwise, I would have gone.
Next year, though, next year when you're not at that job anymore, you'll have time for Gallifrey
1. We'll see.
Yeah,
see. He's already pushing back his date.
Yeah.
I already pulled it. I was like telling people September now.
What?
I just in case. I just need
you
to.
You can't. That's the exact reason.
That's the exact reason. That's how it happens. It's the next thing you know, you're 50 years old. You've been putting it off your whole life.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm being serious. Like that's what happened. You go like, I'm just wondering off. It's like you gotta.
Because in
gotta
September you'll get here and then you'll go, February.
Yeah. And you gotta have done it yesterday. That's the kind of feeling you should have.
What if we convince him to quit and then it ruins his life and then Matt's homeless?
That's what I'm hoping for, Chris.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. Okay, we better get on the same game plan then.
I'm that close to being home.
We'll get you a box.
No, thank you. A TARDIS? Can I paint it blue?
You started to get paid this week, which is a big jump.
Very nice.
Convenient. Very convenient for
me. It is convenient. It's not a lot of money. Let's not pretend that it's an enormous amount of money.
I kind of want to give my money to him.
Oh, that's so sweet. You guys are adorable. I want to hug you so much.
I don't necessarily need it too badly right now. I mean,
you're so adorable. God damn it, Jonah. I want to break your other arm. You're so cute.
Have the checks been cut?
Yes. Yeah, the checks have been cut. I had to hire a payroll company, you guys. I'm paying a bunch of people now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hope people come out to my live shows.
Yeah, they will.
Or maybe they would go to tweakedaudio.com/nerdist and get some earbuds.
I can't wait for my Tweaked Audio earbuds.
Yes, they're sending you guys. You're getting red one, you're getting black.
Black,
ones.
Yes. I'm looking forward to them.
Oh, all right.
So, so people are actually buying those. And the notes that I've been getting back from people is that they are, like some guy said, I'm an audio engineer. These are good headphones. I'm enjoying them.
Oh, shit.
So
that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, so I was very pleased.
Yeah. Now we don't have to shuck it in vain.
Nope. No, we don't.
I never was.
Don't shuck it in vain. Sorry. Just every once in a while, something sounds like a song.
There should be a Sniper song.
Yeah.
Don't shuck it in vain.
Yeah. Would it be a ballad like Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
Well, Sniper has the ballad, I Want Your Cans. is the really heartfelt 80s glam metal Sniper ballad.
Is the battle cry of it, he hates these cans?
It is not from The Jerk. He hates these cans. It is not from The Jerk.
He hates these cans.
I want your cans. Want your cans.
Maybe I'll put it at the end of the show. This also was an exciting week. I had a little bit of a Verizon problem this weekend.
Was it with your little it was with the Wi-Fi?
There was trouble on the Verizon?
There was
trouble on the Verizon.
Nerd joke.
That's a anyone can enjoy that joke. That's
a great joke. Nerd joke. Yeah.
Yeah, but so
tell me about this event, Verizon.
Motherfucker.
You're too good. You're too good today, my friend. You are good.
There are days and there are days.
So what happened was 3 weeks ago, I went into a Verizon store wanting to get a 4G modem for my MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we don't have 4G modems. LG makes a snazzy looking one. We don't have them available. They're not available yet for Mac. They're only for PC. So they said, why don't you get the MiFi? Now, I actually tested the MiFi for Attack of the Show, so I thought it was a fine device.
Sure.
And so I said, no. All right. No 4G modems yet? No, we don't. You know, someday we'll get them, but we don't know when. Hmm. All right, fine. So I get the MiFi. It's nice. You know, it's a portable hotspot. And then I've been having trouble with it. Like it works like half, you know, like half the time. Cuts in, it cuts out. Sometimes it's not, it doesn't, my computer does not recognize that it's there or other devices don't recognize it's there. And so I took it in yesterday and I was like, listen, I'm a customer. I bought this thing 3 weeks ago. In that time, you have launched the 4G modem that those guys didn't. I mean, to their credit, companies don't tell them when stuff's coming out. And but literally, it happened like a week and a half after I bought the MiFi. So I said, hey, you know what? The MiFi's kind of on. It's not working great. I really wanted the 4G modem. Can I just get the 4G modem? And the guy goes, how long ago did you get the MiFi? And I goes, through. As I was saying the word 3 weeks, he just started shaking his head at me. Nope, sorry, dude.
Oh.
I was like, really? I'm only like 6 days outside when I, you know, I'm outside the 14-day period where you can bring it back.
Where was this?
At Verizon store.
Oh, yeah.
Does that not apply under the cell phone law of 30 days in California?
According to this guy, it was 14 days. And
California is 30.
And he was also able to connect the MiFi to an iPad in the store immediately. So I look like a huge liar.
Yeah.
Which he's kind of intimated. And then secondly, I was like, but I just want this. I want the 4G modem. By the way, let me also point out that we are fucking fortunate that we get to have these first world problems.
I was going to say, when do you have time to go back to the
My
Verizon
biggest
stuff?
Problem yesterday was this 4G modem thing. Like,
and I bet it ruined your day.
I had a blessed day.
I bet it ruined your day, though.
I was mad about it for a couple of hours.
he texted me.
Nerd rage. Yeah, I was nerd rage.
At the end of the day, you were just like, fucking Verizon.
Well, because, you know, because I kind of thought like, hey, you know, you guys are supposed to be award-winning customer support. If you see the situation is that the thing that I wanted was not available, and then it came out since I got the thing, and that's only been a couple weeks. But since I just fell just outside the 14 days, contractually, they don't have to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
But if I were working there, I'd probably be like, hey, all right, whatever. You know, you're going to pay more for the data plan anyway, so it's, you know, because the 4G data plans are more expensive.
Is that what Best Buy's new thing is? They're trying to do at Best Buy, where it's like if you buy something and then something kind of recent after that, like drops.
Yeah, you can upgrade.
You can bring it back and upgrade.
You kind of should be able to. The upside of the story was that...
No, you shouldn't be able to. It's technology. That's new
the game.
Stuff comes out, just deal
that's
with it.
That's the game.
But right? Like 3 weeks, yes, I understand that.
I was a week outside the 14 days, and the 4G modems just came out. But, you know, I managed to call someone in customer service who was very helpful and said, oh, we'll take care of this for you.
I got into an argument with a woman who was mad because Microsoft Office X, which came out in the year 2000, was no longer working.
Yeah.
I said, this is 12 years old. This code was written in the 90s.
I'm sure her 82 Honda Accord still runs.
Motherfucker.
You don't understand. This software is in eighth grade now.
It's like... I don't understand.
It's not doing well.
So I gotta upgrade now?
Office X is going through puberty.
That's how they get you. They're always trying to make you get more things
Office
every
X
decade.
Just had its bar mitzvah.
Every decade they try to upsell
you. It's a man now
you.
In the eyes of the Lord.
I understand. Listen, it's not, you know, and it's not easy for you guys on the other end of it with dealing with tech people. But as a consumer, I just sort of felt like, oh, come on, you know, like I want to pay more for this other thing. And but, you know, to their credit, someone reached out and emailed me and said, oh, my God, if there's anything we can do, I, you know,
did you go on Twitter again and complain?
I complained about it on Twitter, mainly because, you know, because Verizon is supposedly so well known for their customer service. And so I just kind of felt like to go in and have a dude who was kind of judgy on me. And I was like, all right, well, that's fine.
We tend.
And also, you know, the other thing, too, is that it's a weird power of social media now. Like we are all consumers are all empowered. And what's interesting about it is that as a consumer, like corporate America still pretty much runs everything. And I'm not trying to be super hippie about it, but you know, like the bigger companies get, the less they give a shit about you if you have like a unique, if you have a unique situation, and they can just be like, yeah, fuck off, get out of here. So now that, you know, that consumers are empowered, it's hard not to want to rush to social media and be like, hey, you know, this company that says they do this thing is kind of acting like this. And I kind of like, we really have no way to keep these larger companies in check other than social media right now.
Tell me about it, Progressive Auto Insurance.
did they screw you over still?
Yeah, fuck them.
Do you still have to pay?
I had to pay $1,000
extra.
Not extra, but like I had to pay the two deductibles.
Oh, because they
car got in an accident, or rather, someone tried to steal my car. It wasn't even a fucking car accident. Someone tried to steal my car, and then the tow truck driver that they sent broke my fucking car more.
Oh yeah.
I then had to pay two deductibles because it was two separate incidents.
Oh, it's a good thing you're getting paid on the show now.
I still owe money for that. God, I don't even want to talk about it.
Then
they didn't put two sick days in my paycheck, and I'm like worried if I can make rent.
Oh, you gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Thank you.
All right. You know, you can always sleep in this building.
I will. Next to Seacrest.
Hey, buddy, I never sleep. See my eyes? They don't blink, buddy.
I don't have eyelids. I have them removed. They were a weakness.
Every once in a while, I have someone come and miss them for me.
The year was 1798. Hey, I was born to darkness, as I call it.
Man. It's much like the Hightower character from the Police Academy movies once said when he tore the door off of a car.
And then ripped the front seat out.
That's how they could go there.
Mahoney? I don't know.
Yeah, that's also a thing from the movie.
Yeah, no, I just
Matthew's having a tough day.
I know.
What can
I
we
know.
Do to make you feel better?
I don't know.
Go to the counter after this.
You want to go to get some delicious cheeseburgers at the counter?
I'm gonna get another burger
salad. It's a cheat day. I can eat whatever I want today.
Oh, you're gonna go for it?
You look good, by the way, Matthew.
Yeah,
you
it's really, really are working.
Looking, you're Thank looking you. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very excited for you.
I'm excited for me too. I like it. I like walking every day. That's nice.
Yeah, I gotta get into that.
Well, you just get your arm fixed first before you.
Yeah, no,
that
was the shitty part. Like I was like on this like I was doing this thing every time I would get worked up at work or something like that. I'd be like, oh fuck, and then I would go into a room by myself and do as many push-ups as I could.
I
now I can't.
I just like
one arm, Jack Palance stuff.
This week, like I worked till midnight on Friday, and then I opened the next day, and then I had to go finish up the thing for the show tonight, and then we have three podcasts today, and it just feels like I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be busy.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It's interesting.
It is a good feeling. Yeah. It's so much better than sitting around.
Yeah, yesterday was like the first day I had kind of a day to.
Wait, I'm supposed to feel good about this?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. This means you're getting stuff done. Like you're putting things out into the world. You're moving forward. Toward your goals. Wait, exactly. Wait. And I'm going to spin this for you.
He's spinning it for me.
I'm
like
going to spin
do
this
it,
for you.
Chris,
go.
Okay,
I'm going to spin this for you. You did not have to go into the job that does not make you happy today, right?
Boom.
Correct.
Already a win.
Win. Number one.
Number one.
You're getting to do, we're recording three podcasts, which I assume you enjoy doing.
I enjoy most of the
And you're now
time.
Getting a little bit of money for. That's
good. Boom. Boom. Keep going, Chris.
And you're producing your sold out show with Tom Lennon at the UCB Theater with a bunch of really great comics.
That's
You are busy in a wonderful way.
That's
like
true.
You are, you have to look, you know, you can't just think of busy as one kind of blobby thing that just, it's like thinking of comedy as one thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's good busy and there's bad busy, and you're good busy right now because you're moving forward into directions that you want to go.
Yeah. Also, you know, that feeling that you're still kind of bummed out and like feeling grumpy.
Yeah.
That shows you that will always be there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just so you know, like if you get super successful, it's not going to change you emotionally. You
are
still
you sure?
You know how many performers? Oh, okay. You know there are so many comics that I know that got super famous and they are just as unhappy as they were before. Like you take you come out of it with what you went into it with, yeah. in other words. So don't just think that, you know, being
it's
more...
It's not going to fill any hole.
It will fill some holes, but other holes will open. So you just need to work on being happy.
That's talking
about pussy, right?
Pussy. You just need to work on being happy first, and then the other stuff is
just
gotta
give
ancillary.
Myself time to be happy.
Yeah.
And not, yeah.
You just have to you need to stop and appreciate for a minute the cool stuff you're doing today.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Myra. Think about Myra from 2 years ago.
Think about Myra from 4 years ago, today got on a plane to fly to Los Angeles.
Today's the four-year anniversary?
Yeah.
See, and you're so much further than I was at four years, you know?
You're not as congenial.
You know, the other thing, too, is that...
I'm very congenial.
I'm very fucking congenial.
I'm very fucking pleasant to have a fucking round.
The other thing is that you really you came out here 4 years ago, but you didn't really start actively pursuing a bunch of stuff until, you know, what, 2 years ago?
Maybe. I'll say, we'll say when I did comedy and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're really doing okay. And you got a bunch of people, like, I had people that came up to me at Gallifrey One, the Doctor Who convention, that said, are you going to record Matt's first stand-up? Yeah. I mean, people are rooting for you.
Yeah, I have people tweeting me saying, like, it's like, and they're not even adding you on this tweet. They're just like, hey, Ray Adjona, are you like pushing? Are you still pushing Matt to do stand up? Like, you know,
so nice. I hope to not disappoint.
And then I respond with, I got my own shit to do
because I'm congenial. Mother
bitches,
damn it.
Every time I grimace when I move my arm, it's congenial.
I got some emails.
Got some business? Go.
Mailbag!
I'm going to try to set this up by the time this... I'll set up by the time this goes up. I'm going to do nerdist.com/... We're going to call these... Quements!
Wait, what?
Quements. Some are questions, some are comments.
We were so both confused.
Quements.
Maybe we go back to the drawing board on that, Big C.
No. I think if I saw it, I would understand.
Quemments. Quemments.
Never mind. I was wrong.
Shit. We're going to go with it for now.
Nurse.com/Quemments.
We can change it later.
It's going up this week, so you're going to have that up by this week?
Yeah, it's just basically just going to be one page, and then that's going to have, like... It's basically just going to be one blog post that just says, you know, post your questions or comments here so that people don't have to email.
Comptions. No.
You got a... How many comptions does this car have? It's got 200 horsepower.
Take
how many
a comption in the mouth?
Yeah. There's some guy that's been tweeting at us a lot from Kauai, from Poipu Kauai, and he really enjoys
What's
us.
What's his Twitter name?
Ocean Christ.
I don't know. Maybe a
very nice guy. I went to Poipu Beach once on vacation, and it's a very delightful beach. So, hello, Ocean Christ.
When you would go on vacation living in Hawaii as a kid, did you, like, when you'd go on vacation, would you be like, okay, let's go to another island?
Sometimes we'd go, like, stay at a hotel in the country, like near the North Shore. That would be our vacation.
Yeah.
There was also, like, we went to Kauai once as a family. And that's just, like, I mean, it's different. You know, it's just like going to another part of the country it's just like it's kind of similar, but kind of different.
I mean,
I would
go to Cape Cod. I mean, I'd stay in the same state.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. But that's like, this is just more expensive because you have to fucking put an entire family on a small plane.
Do you?
It's like when I lived in Memphis and we went to
Memphis.
We went to Germantown.
Your mother was at my work. Everyone was telling me about it.
I heard.
Your mom is the best.
I loved her.
She's adorable.
She was telling, do you know my son, Christopher? Chris Hardwick?
Yep, all right.
where am I?
Quemments. Here's the first one. Question for Hostful Podcast from Muir Lyman. Muir.
Muir.
M-U-I-R, like John Muir, the famous naturalist.
Of course,
John Muir. Hey, Nerdist. Number one, I had a dream the other night, and when I woke, I felt compelled for no good reason to let you guys know. The dream was... I was present at some recording session for the Nerdist podcast. I can't recall the guest. And after we finished, Chris H. asked me if I would like to stay on as the fourth host.
Oh my God, we got a fourth host.
I said I'd love to, but I needed to immediately go to jail for some reason. So I grudgingly declined.
Signed, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie. Apologizing. You were very understanding of my predicament, so I would like to thank you for being so nice, even in my subconscious.
Aww.
Listen, we are we have a soft spot for the recently incarcerated.
Of course, who doesn't?
And so, for whatever reason you were being jailed for, we wouldn't, you know, take it out on you.
It's probably just like not a crime. It was probably just a misdemeanor.
And we'll have podcast conjugal visits. We'll come record with you in your dream prison.
Yes, through the phone glass.
Fuck dreams.
That reminds me, what about the auction winner? that won the auction to sit in.
She's coming out in March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she said she's coming out in March. She doesn't live here. She's coming out in March. I told her she's welcome to come on whenever she wants.
Does she want to do a guest or she want to do one of these?
She can do whatever she wants. She donated like $1,500 or something to the LA Regional Food Bank. So,
and she doesn't even live in LA.
She does not even live in LA. Yeah. So,
that's good stuff.
You know, whatever she wants. And then the guy goes on to say he enjoys the guestless podcast, the hostful podcast, whatever. And, now, whenever I ate a burrito, I remember to enjoy it thoroughly. Thanks, Muir L. At Shatterwood.
It's not really what we were saying. Don't take it. I mean, fuck yeah, enjoy your burrito because they're great. Burritos are awesome. But also, you know, don't take it too literally.
Yeah, but you can take it literally. Absolutely. Or figuratively.
That's true.
So great about it.
That's true.
You can enjoy the burrito of enjoying your burrito.
I'm just using it as an analogy.
When we go to lunch, I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of whatever it is I eat.
Burger salad.
I'm not getting a salad. I'm gonna get a bun. I probably won't.
My cousin used to play bass in Burger Salad.
Yeah. They used to open up for the Beats.
Yep.
Ooh wee ooh, killer tofu.
Holy shit! I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's a little Doug. That's a little Doug for you. A little Nicktoons.
Oh, good. Good job.
Killer tofu.
All right, Andrew Rouse. Question compilation. Hey guys, I've been a fan for a while, but never gotten up the courage to write in until
Thanks,
now.
Thanks, Andrew.
Never gotten the courage to write into it. That's so sweet. That's probably like how I had Tom Lehrer's phone number once, and I always wanted to call him, and I just couldn't get up the courage to call him. What am I going to say to Tom Lehrer?
Your songs you made make me happy.
Just tell him.
That's perfect.
Camp Granada.
Tom Lehrer.
That's not Camp. Wait, who did?
Tom Lehrer did. Tom Lehrer. I mean,
did he do Camp Granada or like a Hello Mata, Hello Fada?
No. Tom Lehrer did the most brilliant comedy nerdy comedy songs dating back to the 40s and the
50s. Yeah. The Sun.
He went to Harvard when he was 16. You know, he was writing songs about pot smoking and poisoning pigeons in the park. And then he did a series of live performances in the 60s that you can get the recordings. I mean, like the New Math song is fucking phenomenal, but he also most people know him as he did a lot of the music, the little musical vignettes for the Electric Company. So he did the LY song.
Okay.
And so what was interesting was I was kind of aware of Tom Lehrer, and then Furman and I, when we started doing Hard and Firm stuff in the mid 90s, it was later that I realized that I actually had been heavily influenced by Tom Lehrer and then just hadn't realized that that was Tom Lehrer.
Is he the one that wrote The Sun is a Ball of Incandescent Gas?
No. The Sun is a Mass of Incandescent Gas came from a compilation of science. There was a series of science.
But there
wasn't
a guy, there was a guy that wrote all those songs, right?
Yeah. His name was Tom, it wasn't Tom Lehrer. No, it was not.
Tom Lakers.
Some guy posted all those albums, so you can get them all.
Oh, cool. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail your...
No, hang on a sec. I'm trying to remember what the guy's name was. It was a couple brothers, and then they had different singers come on.
Hmm.
I'm going to find this out.
Hmm.
Can you Google that?
My phone's all the way over there.
Here, you can use mine, but I don't really get... I'm on edge here.
Matt is not lazy. He is attached to headphones. My phone's all the way over there. Well, go get it. All right. Hey, so this goes back to Andrew Rouse. I've been a fan for a while, but never gotten the courage to write it until now. So I have a few questions, ideas to accumulate over time. Number one, how do I get into comedy? Chris talks about being asked this occasionally, never says the answer, and always says the answer. Always says the answer is just do it. In my mind, though, if I'm asking that question, I'm thinking logistically. The question is more along the lines of, if I want to start doing comedy, where do I go? Open mics have been mentioned on the show. But that kind of thing might not have occurred to me. It seems to me that many people don't know the places that they would be given a chance to perform, and that's what they're asking for, just a thought. Yes, open mics.
Look in if you have like a weekly rag.
Yeah.
Like a lot of, they're like, you know, in Seattle, it's The Stranger. It's the LA Weekly out here.
Right.
Any weekly rag. And I'm
Time
sure
Out New York.
Time Out New York. Any alternative newspaper will probably have a listing of open mics.
If you live in a small town that does not have an alternative newspaper, then you
start one.
You can start an alternative newspaper and then fill it with comedy listings. Or you can also just go online and Google, you know, like comedy open mic and then your city.
Yeah, Poughkeepsie.
And if you live in a really small town, then you would probably be aware if there's a comedy show
exactly.
in your town or not.
And you know, if you go to some and you don't like what you're seeing, find a coffee shop or bar and then start your own.
Yeah, start your own. Because if no one has done it yet, I guarantee you there are other people in your city that are wondering the same thing. And if you start an open mic, other people will come around. And so that's how it starts. You see, because the most important thing for any young comic or performer is to just get up in front of people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's 2 people or 1,000 people. You need to be comfortable talking in front of other humans. Mm-hmm. That is, and the joke writing is almost secondary.
Yeah. And don't think that being the guy who, does the show or runs the show means that you're like not going to be looked at as a comic. There's a lot of people that run shows that are just as well. Yeah. Like Scott Aukerman runs the best comedy show in Los Angeles.
Comedy Death Ray.
But he also
doesn't run the Meltdown.
That was in my head.
Well played.
But you know, he runs a great show, but he's also a very, well-to-do writer.
If you're gonna run a show, just make sure you do other things. Like Scott is also a performer, he is also a writer, yeah. And he also produces stuff, and he also has the Comedy Death Ray at Earwolf.
IFC thing.
So it's like try just you don't want to just be have a bigger plan with it. Because then what'll happen is other people will start shows, and that's how you start branching out. You start at one open mic or however many you can get to that are in your town. And then people who run shows that aren't open mics, that are booked shows, you'll start meeting them and they'll say, hey, come do my show. And then it might be a bringer show where you'll have to bring people in the audience to get stage time. But that, that you won't have to do that forever. And then you grow it from there. So just start doing that. Find an open mic and just get up and start performing in front of people. Coffee shops make great places to do shows. Bars make great places to do shows on off nights. Bookstores, if they have a section where people like do readings and stuff.
Yeah. Video stores that have a weird space, like comic, like, you know.
What'll happen is the more you do comedy, the more you will, every room you go, every time you go into a room, you can't help but go, okay, that's where you'd put the mic, and then people would come in here, and then you'd set up the chairs
that's
there.
That's every comic, yeah.
Just, every comic, yeah. Who's...
Hey, look at that corner. There's a raised platform over there.
You perform there. All right. Oh boy, his email is great. He's got a whole list of stuff here. The next one is Comedians You Should Know was the name that we had to
change
because there's already Comedians You Should Know. But since that's taken, I might actually put this column up on the website, on the Nerdist website. He's created a mix and match grid. So at the top it says hilarious comedians you should and know are all different cells. And then there are just synonyms for each one of those things below. So we could mix it up. So we could call the show, for instance, talented wordsmiths for you to laugh at.
I like that one.
Or stand-up entertainers you need to follow. Or underrated comics I command you to be familiar with.
That's great.
Well done, Mr. Rouse. Well done. All right. And then there's a few different here, so I want to make sure and get to some other people. Different kind of live. If you consider doing a live streaming podcast episode, it might be fun, especially if you want to do it through Ustream or Justin TV. They have chat rooms, more audience interaction. If you start riffing on Vader pussy type name, you'll get a whole bunch of potential zingers. Anyway, thanks for so many great episodes so far. Eagerly await the next episode. Cheers, Andrew Rouse at Quasarman. Or Quatzerman, if you're Italian.
That's a really cool idea.
That is a really... Well, the thing about streaming is, though, I just always assume, no one ever goes to streaming. Like the internet just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but we're here anyway.
I think what we should do, though, is when we build the new space at Meltdown, I think we should start doing, maybe we should do Hostful podcasts live in front of people.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
We can try it and see if it works. I'm a big fan of just like, fuck it, try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Try it, see if it works. If you don't know, fucking try it.
That's how fucking this whole thing started.
Yeah, exactly. So like with your stand-up, Andrew, just fucking try it. If you hate it, don't do it anymore. If you hate it but you keep doing it, then keep doing it. Like don't be afraid to try stuff. Yeah. It's okay if shit doesn't work. Then you know.
And don't use your job as an excuse, loser.
What? Hello, what? Pot. What? I have a kettle calling for you.
Oh, that's odd. Hello.
Here's an email from a guy named Luke Smarto.
Not real.
Gotta be.
Not real.
Smarto could be a reference to something. I'm not kidding. Nerds Podcast is mega rad. Thank you.
It's the real.
You guys are great. And I find myself listening to all the Hostful episodes first if I have catching up to do. Thanks for adding twice the raw nerdness to the interwebs.
You're welcome.
When you're in Chicago, do you plan on coming out to C2E2 that weekend? Yes. When I'm performing at Zany's in Chicago, the 16th through the 19th of March is also the weekend of C2E2, which is a huge, huge, huge nerd convention. If so, I will be an Artist Alley, loving life, hating life, or living to love, hating life. It could be a win-win for me.
Living to love, hating life.
Yes, the answer to that is yes. I am definitely going to stop by C2E2 while I'm in Chicago and at least walk around. I've pitched myself to moderate stuff to them too because I just want to be involved with it. So I will be at C2E2 in some capacity.
Hey guys, Chris can also moderate for you.
I'm a good moderator. All right, Nate Soloway, question for Matt.
Yes, sir.
Looking to replace my 4-year-old
yep,
and
iPhone.
Loved fruit store with intelligence bar book.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the fruit store that shall not be named air now or wait for the pro refresh?
I would wager by the time this podcast comes out, you might be in luck.
That the pro, the
things happen.
Professional grade computer might be.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I read on MacRumors.com.
What's that? I don't know that. I'm not familiar.
That's a completely unrelated computer website.
That has nothing to do
with it. I mean, we're not talking about your company. I'm just saying that there is what Apple is planning to do is they might refresh their MacBook Pros according to MacRumors.com. So, you know, using that company as a guide to more accurately depict what your company might be doing, then we might be able to draw a parallel between those two.
Yeah, hang in there, buddy.
You might not have to worry about waiting until September. This one is from Keith Canavan. Hardwick, can you inform the world about how you ended up on the Minstrel Show album from Little Brother? Love that album from 5 years ago. And there is a weird life collision going on for me right now. Elaborate if you can. Congrats, Myra. Anyone who leaves Lowell is a winner. You and Paul Tsongas are heroes.
Paul never left Lowell.
Sincerely, mediocre masshole. Oh, Kevin, you're delightful. Okay. The way that I host, I'm on, there's a great hip hop group called Little Brother, and I interviewed them like 6 years ago for something that I was doing, a pilot that I was doing for VH1, I think. And one of the guys in Little Brother, Fonte, and I really hit it off. He was a super cool guy. He sent me some collaboration stuff that he did with a DJ, and I sent him Rodeohead that Hardin Furman, and we just became pals. And then he had this idea for the Minstrel Show. Their next album was sort of like an SNL type thing, and he wanted it to have like a host. So he just asked me if I, he called me and asked me if I wanted to host his album. And I said, yes, I do.
Nice.
So I get the occasional, like, are you the Chris Hardwick from the Minstrel album? Which is normally kind of outside my field of interest. And it was great. And Fonte's awesome and they rule. And yes, so that's how I got involved with Little Brother.
I occasionally still get people going, are you the Jonah Ray from the Giant Drag song? Jonah Ray is A-okay, but that's all hearsay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, still to this day.
To this day.
You know who else left Lowell? Ed McMahon.
Betty, really?
And look at him now.
Betty Davis.
Dead.
Now, were you upset that you did not work at the funeral home when Ed McMahon came through?
I think he was buried out here, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I mashed up a few facts.
Okay.
Oh, here's a guy named Matt who sent an apology for writing a bad review on iTunes.
Whoa.
Oh, I want to hear that.
All right.
Well, just get the gist.
Hey, okay, so
digest it.
First, imagine the typical asshole. It's a very sweet email. Imagine the typical asshole, disgruntled voice writing a pissed off letter.
Did you write it?
Okay, think of that voice for your inner monologue when reading my email and review on iTunes. Boo. Okay, I did not read his review on iTunes because
he tries not to.
I try not to. Not that I don't want you to give us 5-star ratings.
Oh, we appreciate that.
But some reviews, I still can't divorce myself emotionally from if someone's just like, you're a fucking piece of shit. I'm like, what did I do to that guy?
I looked through all of them.
Okay, I don't want to know about it. Anyway, this guy said, I think I wrote something bad on a review, and I really hope you don't take it as such. But if you do, I wanted to offer my sincere apologies. I mentioned, Chris, if you're reading, I am your less than stellar career. Okay. I actually think you have an enviable career. I know you work very hard, and honestly, if I can get off my ass more and apply myself to film projects, books I'm reading and such, that I can do well, blah, 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 blah. But being as that you're down on yourself seems to light a fire under your ass to want to make change and do as much as you can between meals. Anyway, I enjoy your podcast and I hope I'm not inadvertently putting backhanded compliments in this email. I live in Andover, Mass.
Yeah, that's right in the greater Lowell area, my
Matt
dad.
Matt Myra can tell you we're all pretty much rich assholes. I'm not rich and try not to be too much of an asshole, but I do buy 2 tickets to your Boston show.
Yes,
oh, there you go.
Show,
so at least 2 people.
At least 2 people will be there.
Well, no, I know like 6 people that are going.
All
to
I know is that you've sold upwards of 8 tickets because mine are numbers 7 and 8 in section C. Just give your ninja friends my coordinates in case you have me killed during the show. I've rambled enough. I'm sorry if you took offense to some part of my iTunes review. I gave it a 5 stars. Matt Newcomb. Matt Newcomb, you're delightful. First of all, hey, whatever. You had a bad day and you gave us a bad review. Fucking fine. But I applaud your
apology.
I applaud your apology. I think that's very nice.
Andover was where my dad worked. He worked in Andover. I love Andover. It's a beautiful town. And Phillips Academy, the high school, the rich high school is there.
Yeah.
And yeah, anyway, it is rich. He's rich.
I'll go check it out when I'm performing at the Wilbur Theater April 9th.
Exit 41 on 93.
Hey, just saying exit 41 on the 93.
Yeah. Not the 93. It's 93.
Well, I'm not local, so I don't know these things.
When you hit the asshole, take
a ride.
So what
you got to do is take 93 north till you get to 41.
Uh-huh. And what do I do when I get to 41?
When you go to Andover, you take a right off.
What kind of people live in Andover?
You know, rich bastards.
Rich bastards. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm not good at him.
Rich bastards. Hey, wicked pisser.
I helped a guy at my job yesterday who was from Chelmsford, which is right next to Lowell. And I slipped into the accent with him totally.
That happens to me when I talk to people. When I talk to people from Hawaii, I start speaking a little bit of pidgin English.
Yeah, and it's like, what am I doing? Yeah,
I do say y'all when I go to the South and I'm talking to people like, yeah, y'all want to go? And I can feel it just tug.
It's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, like I'll be in Hawaii and just be like, oh, it's hot today, yeah? Oh, pass me the kine. You know, shit like that.
Like it's like whenever I go to New Zealand and I'm like, Brett and Jermaine, we should write some songs together.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I posted yesterday the Cook Islands, which are... I believe they're an independently governed democracy that is associated with New Zealand. Their domain extension is .co.ck.
Yeah. If you there's a really awesome British show called Nathan Barley.
I remember Nathan Barley.
Chris Morris and the guy, Nathan Barley, the titular character, had a website called trashbat.cock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he says. He's like, trashbat.cock is my website, registered in the Cook Islands.
So genius.
Yeah, great show.
Nathan Barley, if you can find it.
Yeah, Nathan Barley is an amazing, amazing show.
Still trying to track down Garth Marenghi on Region 1. Not possible.
Not possible. I could let you borrow my... Oh.
You know, we also got... I put the word out for, like, hey, architects, designers.
You got some?
I got, like, 9!
Cool.
And some of them are, like, companies, like...
Design contest, go!
Yeah, I wanted to do a design contest. Some guy sent us the montage theme song for when we actually do all the construction.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I just got it. I'll send it to you guys. It's great. And then also a bunch of people want to be interns.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know what to tell an intern to do. What do you have an intern do?
I do. I have a good idea.
What do you tell them to do?
Get coffee.
Well,
file these things.
You're going to want... An intern, you need.
We're building a thing together. I got to figure out how it all
works.
You need
someone that's going to be, you know, able to like run shit and have ideas, you know.
Okay.
You know, you don't just need a bitch.
Mm.
You need some like smart nerds who don't mind doing things.
Yeah.
Smurds.
Because the thing is, it's like.
I'll do it. I'll intern.
You don't have to intern.
No, I can. I think I'm good at it.
You've sort of been interning on this podcast for the last year. You only just started getting paid this
interning
week.
In life. I haven't seen a check yet, so whatever.
texting me about it yesterday. Do you know how much it will be or how many shows?
I was like, I don't even know because I'm just trying to figure out.
Matt texts
the rent thing.
Like
I do.
Crazy.
I text a lot. And
a
then
lot.
Jonah checks out. And I'm like, oh, I've texted him too much. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll respond.
I'm okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah, and just so much.
He knows it's a habit of mine. And then
like a girl, he texts as much as a girl.
Well, a lot of it, it's because I'm at work. And
girls
I would pick up.
Yeah, and girls text a lot. It's just a thing.
I would pick up the phone and call both of you, but I end up texting because I'm at work.
Because you're at work. You can't get on the phone.
I can't get on the phone.
Yeah,
We sort of offhandedly joked on the Colin Hanks podcast. So like, yeah, no girls listen to the show. But the truth of the matter is, I think it's pretty close to even, I think.
I would wager it might be even.
But that's not,
60,
we don't,
40.
None of us really believe that. It's just, it's our nerdy, self-deprecating kind of way to joke around.
Like, girls don't like us.
Yeah.
Guys, I thought I could wear these shorts without a belt, and it was a mistake.
That's good. That's good,
and on topic, too.
Yeah. In my mind, it was, because my shorts were falling.
Exactly, in your mind.
Welcome into my mind, Nerdist podcast listeners.
It's squishy.
Oh my god. Okay, so if you guys get a divorce, who gets the laptop?
Jonah.
But then he still has to fix it for me.
We're not dating anymore.
I know, but I really
We're
need
still
to
friends.
Know.
I've got to fix it.
I broke up with you 6 months ago. Get the net.
I did that once. Years and years ago, I had a girlfriend and we broke up, and for some reason I still agreed to go walk the dogs when she was out of town.
It's a Pomeranian, dude. It's a show dog.
Despite the fact
it has papers.
Despite the fact that she had pictures of her new boyfriend all over the apartment, I still was like,
oh,
I'm a nerd.
That's harsh.
I wouldn't do that now. That's just one of those things that you do.
All these people are going to remain nameless, but there's this guy that helped a girl get a job in an office that he worked at on another project in that office. And, you know, she was always kind of being like, we'll hang out soon. They kind of dated, but this wasn't happening anymore. Yeah. Then he walked by her desk and saw like a bunch of pictures of her and her new boyfriend. He was just like fucking gut punch.
Girls are sometimes pretty mean.
No, but they're awesome.
Without knowing that they're mean. It's okay. I forgive you all.
Guys are complete idiots. Girls are evil. That's just neither of them can help it.
Girls have to be defenders. Girls have to be defenders. Because, biologically,
they have boobies.
A man's biological coding is I want to spread my DNA. A man's coding is for quantity.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
A man's coding is for quantity, and a woman's biological coding is for quality. So some girls, they just want the best quality dude that they can find. And please don't write me like, that's sexist. It's not. The girls want a quality guy, and dudes seem to just like, I'm going to fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Not us, guys, right?
Not us.
Not us.
We love our girlfriends.
Hey, guys, men and women are different. Should I write some jokes about that?
No, but all that plane stuff you were talking about earlier about the food was really funny.
Yeah. Oh, what if Jack Nicholson were flying on a plane after he broke up with his girlfriend?
I would go a little something.
Ew, gunshot.
I was just going to say something, and then I was like, no, we'd have to cut that. Never mind.
All right. Next email comes from Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
Subject line, location, Real. Location. Hey, guys, I'm a huge fan of the show. Okay, I love nerds, and I would love to date one, but I'm not sure where to look. I've tried libraries, but there wasn't much there except rickety old men reading periodicals. Are there any special places I could go to find some dorks?
One, you found a library?
What's that in your eye? Oh, it's just a sparkle. Gabe, cons are great places. Cons are great places to
music
meet
music shows?
No, Barnes & Noble? Probably be a good place, right?
Modern-day library.
You know what? You know what? Nerdy movies during the day.
Yeah.
Well, how do you... I guess after. Maybe in the popcorn line or something, I suppose that would be...
I see you're a fan of Thor as well.
You know, with meeting...
I couldn't help but notice your vagina's empty.
You just gotta go to places where you enjoy doing things and then see if they're there too. Don't go to some place that you don't go.
Go to live comedy shows.
Yeah, but sometimes people live in small towns where they don't have access to all the things that we have access to in our, you know, our spoiled coastal communities.
Get a job, date a coworker.
Sounds like a horrible advice.
Wait.
Break up with them and then the magic starts.
That's when it becomes a steeplechase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just go to, you know, like if you're a nerd, go to comic book stores. A lot of comic book stores like will have other events that they do. You know, like go to some sort of nerd movie night. Go to a coffee shop near a comic book store. Go to cons. Go see a band you like. Use the internet to find out where nerds in your community are having events.
Yeah.
Then go meet them and systematically have sex with all of them.
Yes. Get all the pussies.
Get off. You gonna go out and you gonna go out tonight and get all the pussies?
Yeah, man, I'm gonna get all the pussies.
There's a lot of pussies at that one bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them.
So you're gonna get all of them?
Yeah, I'm gonna get all the pussies. I thought I said that when I say all the pussies, I mean all the pussies.
Every one of the pussies?
Every one of the pussies.
You're gonna get some pussies tonight.
Oh, you better believe it, Chris.
Because you're a man.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got here. Where'd all the pussies go?
Huh?
Jonah got them all.
I got them all.
Damn it, Jonah.
I collect them shits like Pokemon.
Pokemon pussies.
Oh, good stuff, you guys. What are you up to this week? What anything else fun going on? Besides Meltdown Show?
His pilot.
To my pilot.
Talk about it.
I got a Comedy Central pilot.
I wasn't sure if I was allowed to tell anyone, so I don't.
I feel weird saying
maybe
it.
Maybe we don't, because they'll bring it up later in life and he'll be sad.
Yeah, that's why I don't really like bringing it up.
Fuck it.
Because like the idea is just it's like for me, I know it's like a really cool accomplishment. Like
it is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, but at the same time, for me, it's like I feel like I'm like, oh, is it like saying to somebody you have an audition and then like they're like, oh, how'd that audition go?
No. Getting a fucking having a company shoot a pilot with you is not the same as going an audition.
Yeah, Jonah, you're in the third trimester. You can talk about it.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay now.
I have a Comedy Central pilot, and they've done their best to strip away my being. I can't wear a plaid shirt on the show. I had to shave my face with a razor, which is something I've never done.
It might not get picked up if you trash it on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And they made him get my glasses.
So I should, can we cut that out?
Yes. Yes.
Wait. Snip, snip.
So I have a pilot at Comedy Central, and it's called Jonah's Arcade, and
which is a very fantastic name.
Thanks. It's a reference to Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. Noah's Arcade.
Noah's Arcade.
Yeah.
It's fat. It's fresh. It's Noah's Arcade.
Come bust a move to where the games are played. Well, I just opened my mouth, and out it came.
You see, Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah. There's a bow on her head. I blow goats.
My mother had to explain that to me. I went to that movie with my mom, and I had to go, what is a sphincter? And she went, it's your asshole.
Me!
Don't sugarcoat it. I mean your asshole.
So, yeah, ever. So I have a, it's called Jonah's Arcade, and it's me in front of a green screen, and it's you know, just jokes about video games and stuff like that. And I got really good writers on it. I got Kumail Nanjiani, who I do so the Meltdown funny. Show so with. Funny. One of my favorite people.
He's
the funniest,
such a stellar comic.
One of the funniest comics around right now. Tom Segura, who's also a great writer, really, really, really funny guy, road comic kind of guy. I got Paul Bonanno from the G4 mm-hmm. arena, like producing
the show. Chris, how to use this equipment you're hearing?
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
Paul Bonanno, who also helped direct the
sniper video,
and then Brad Stevens and Boyd Vico.
Web Soup EPs.
Or the guys who EP Web Soup.
Brad and Boyd.
And who are two of the funniest guys I have ever met in my life.
Individually, they're funny enough, but then you put the two of them together, and then ridiculous. You're in this like insane crossfire of pop culture, nerdery, and hilariousness.
And then to add that in, Boyd Vico has the most insane stories like of his life.
We gotta have them on.
You gotta have them on. They have to have their own podcast.
We should have them both on, and then, yeah.
Yeah, we'll they're just on. So funny. Yeah, we got to have them on.
But now we've built it up so much in theory.
Dude, that Spider-Man story will fucking kill no matter what.
Yep.
You can't build that story up too much.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe we should have them do one of the live shows.
Yeah, that would be actually pretty amazing. Brad might choke.
Which will start in April. I wonder if we should start, you know, I don't know him, but someone said to me on Twitter, you should have Ben Folds on. And so I said, yes, Ben Folds is welcome to come on whenever he wants. And then Ben Folds wrote, absolutely.
Wow. I said that I was going to go to see a Ben Folds show. You said, what are you going to do if Dave Matthews Band doesn't tour? And that's when you said, I would like to have Ben Folds on the show.
No, I said it because someone else said that.
No, but that's when we said it. And then someone said it on Twitter.
Oh, gotcha.
We were the impetus of it.
And he responded. So maybe if Ben Folds is still willing to do the podcast in April, then we do a show at Meltdown if he wants to.
That's funny. Brad, every time like a Web Soup season is ending, he starts playing Brick. Not Brick. What's the Fred Jones part one.
Fred.
He starts playing Fred Jones part one from Rock in the Suburbs as he starts packing up his box.
Amazingly sad.
And then I always kind of pop my head in and like put my hand on the wall and go, a lot of memories in this place.
this old building. Memories in this old cubicle.
But yeah, Brad and Boyd, EP's on it. We got awesome guys over at Comedy Central working on it. It's gonna be fun, and it's gonna be stupid, and it's
I'm telling you, whether or not the show gets picked up, because you just never know why and when things get picked up. You're in the game.
It's a weird feeling.
And listen to me, I know how this shit works. You are on a show as a creator, executive producer, and star of that show. That puts you in a different game. Your next show is going to be easier to get than this one was.
Yeah, it feels like it came too easy. It feels like all this stuff came too easy.
How long have you been doing comedy in L.A.?
This September, it will be 9 years.
Fuck yourself in the face. It was not easy. That's an insult and a compliment.
Wait, but I've had so much fun. I've gotten to work with my favorite people.
You do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Hey, Seacrest.
I'm telling you. You work very hard. You work hard and you play
and you play hard. We work hard and
but
we
Chris,
play hard.
Will you agree that hosting a show, going through that process leading up to it, is the best way for anybody to have an existential crisis?
Like how?
Like, I just feel like I'm having a personality crisis. Like, when you hear other people in the room talking about what you're going to wear, how you're going to talk, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking about, like, getting network notes about... Yeah, I mean, listen, you have to know to a certain degree. It's like anything. It's going to be a relationship. And the longer you're in the business and the more... I don't want to use the word power, but the longer you're in the business, the more control you have over, like, you know... I mean, after I had been hosting stuff for like 10 years, it started to get to the point of like, this is who I am and this is how I do it. And this is typically the kind of stuff I wear.
Yeah.
If you're not into any of that, then don't hire me because that's what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, there, you make more compromises early on, but it's just so you can get into the game. So if you feel like you're making a couple of compromises here and there, yeah, it'll be fine. The most important thing is with your show is get it picked up. Once your show gets picked up, like it's just a pilot. So
yeah.
Get the show picked up, then you can argue about what shirts you're going to wear.
Yeah, I know, but
I mean, it's a, you know,
it's those weird little things though that keep me, you know, from thinking about all the like the bigger.
Well, maybe you can things, grow a beard, know? Season two, like Riker.
But that's what's so funny. If you had told, if I had told you Jonah Ray of 2 years ago, hey Jonah, you're going to have a Comedy Central pilot that you're going to EP with your friends and you're going to get to host it, you would have been like, no fucking way. Where do I sign up?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, like you have to, that's what I'm saying. It's like you
remember,
you come out with the same stuff that the same emotional baggage you had going in.
Yeah.
So don't Jonah Ray it too much. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't overthink the process. Enjoy
your fucking burrito, man.
Yeah. You need to enjoy this burrito. This is your burrito that you need to be enjoying right now.
It
and
is.
It is a tremendous accomplishment and you should appreciate the process because you will never get another first show.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I really owe it all to you.
No, you don't.
Here's what's crazy. I was in a bad spot in my life and I was just working at a shitty show. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be here. I'm going to be here on this channel for the rest
of
my life.
Familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. See? And I was like, I'm done. This is like, I don't want to do stand up anymore. I don't want to try for anything. I'll just write and produce on this show and I'll be hidden away and I'll make money and I'll have my car and I'll have my money for like new shoes. Like it was just like, I had this really mundane life set up for me that I set up for myself in the world of entertainment. And then like, Chris just, you know, says, come check out my pilot taping. I went to it. It was awesome. And then like a week later or 2 weeks later, how long did it take to get picked up?
It took, I don't know. It was a few weeks.
But I remember you said like, it's like, hey, it got picked up. I was like, oh, congratulations. And you said, oh, I'm going to recommend you for a job there. And I was like, oh, I don't know, Chris. I thank you so much for thinking of me.
It was hard because you were under contract at your present job for like a full year.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, to come work on a new show.
That was only picked up for 8 episodes at the time.
Yeah, maybe less, but six.
And then right before we started, it turned into 8.
Right.
Yeah. And then like, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And Boyd Vico, one of the EPs of the show, would talk to me for hours.
Yeah, I gave your name to them and you went in and met with them. And afterwards they called me and they were like, Jonah's fucking great. Like you guys hung out for hours.
Yeah. We hung out a long time and I was still not sure. And I was like, so I was scared. I was scared to take the thing, you know, that wasn't. Yeah. You know, it wasn't for sure.
Yeah,
I know.
Because I was thinking, like, what if it's
a call? I'm like, you can do whatever you want, Jonah, but I'm telling you, you will have fun doing this.
Yeah. And, like, you know, Chris was really there saying, like, it's like, you know, it's like the best jumps are always the most scary. And I said, but what if it just ends after that? And he's all, it doesn't matter because you will always enjoy the time you had. And it's, and that's, you know, what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, even though it was at a different place and a different level, I'm a different person, the fear was still there.
It's still the same jump.
Yeah, still the same exact jump.
And I believe that I believe there are things that my buddy Tom, who's been my trainer for like 5 or 6 years, he calls them pro-you decisions. When you make pro-you decisions, other opportunities just kind of fall into place because you are doing things that are kind to yourself.
Yeah.
So like when you make choices for yourself that are good for you, then other opportunities fall, like you'll start to see other opportunities happen because your eyes are open to giving yourself that break. I would have never
expected to be where I am right now.
So it's good. So I'm excited. I'm excited for your pilot. Oh. I'm excited for your pilot.
Oh, there's Deanna's having a awesome art show at Meltdown
this
Comics.
Weekend?
Holy
weekend.
Shit!
It's March 4th. It's called Meat, and it's all meat themed art.
That's great.
I've seen some of the stuff coming in, and it's awesome. It's going to be really good. That we got You got Brandon Bird in there. If I'm not sure if you guys know Brandon Bird. Yep. He's the guy that did No One Wants to Play Sega Master System with Harrison Ford, which is a very classic painting. He's got, you know, just Jenny Goldberg. Carlos Ramos is in the show.
Carlos!
Yeah, just tons and tons of great, great artists. Guys, Mike Chillion, who did MythBusters.
Yep.
Is in the show.
Carlos did the, we made a, it's on the Nerdist website, but there's an iPhone or a smartphone background that is Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
And Carlos did that for Nerdist. It's a Nerdist Clash of the Titans where there's like Bubo the Owl is there and the Kraken's in the background. And,
nice.
Release and, the Kraken.
Yeah. He did make a Pegacorn as opposed to just a Pegasus, but it's fine. It still looks cool. Awesome. Made a pick of corn.
So that's what's going on over here on this side of the.
That's great. Yeah. So your art show, Deanna, is she still doing a dick a day?
She has been kind of slacking on it because she's been. Yeah, I know it sucks. But she's been. She. I just saw one of her huge pieces for the meat show, and it's a bunch of sausages, but with cat heads hidden away in them, and one of the cat heads is like licking one of the sausages. It's fucking weird, and it's awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
So we'll hopefully if people are in town on March 4th in Los Angeles, they can go to that.
Yeah, at Meltdown.
Yeah. Soon to be home of Nerdist Industries.
Yeah. Come and see the space, and so you can know before and after.
Think we'll get any signage? Like maybe like a little Nerdist Industries thing on the.
Oh yeah, Gaston wants to have whole entrance.
No, dude, we're gonna have a contest because when you the gallery in the back, which is gonna be the Nerdist Theater, I guess we'll call it.
We'll fucking do it.
Listen, there's a space, and this was Gaston's idea.
I love him
because I said, you know, maybe we should, because when you're looking, Meltdown Comics is huge, and then there's kind of like a, you know, I guess it would take up like three or four standard sized doors. That's the opening to the back.
How many French
is.
Doors?
Probably just one French door.
Sure, yeah.
And so the French do not joke about the doors.
Yeah. The doors are large, no.
Hacky French accent. Anyway, I said, you know, it'd be fun to put a TARDIS like in the front where you'd have to walk through the TARDIS and you could see the theater in the back.
Dude, let's fucking do it.
No, but you know, the problem is the TARDIS is too
copyrighted.
It's not that. It's just that it's too small. Like you don't want that to be your front. Like the TARDIS door is very small.
Yeah. I saw you in one.
But it could be because
it's like half a door on a phone booth.
Yeah.
So he said, no, man, you should have a contest and have someone design, like you can have an artist come in and make whatever you want. Like we could make it a robot's mouth.
Yeah.
Or like whatever. So we should have
those windows above the door could be the eyes of the robot.
Yeah, that'd be
where you peer out of.
Well, that's the Nerdist reception.
Oh, this could be where reception is. Your office could be in the back.
Yeah, that has to be in the back where the attic space is.
This is reception, man, that we come to.
Yeah.
Dude, all the time people walk in right here. You know, awesome.
What I'll do is in the next couple of weeks I will take a picture of that space, that opening, and then we'll have a design contest, and then you know if someone wants to design it and put their and make it their piece, they can
also know how to do carpentry. Know how to do carpentry if you're gonna.
Well, if it is, it doesn't have to be carpentry. Like it could just be a painting, like around the.
Or we could get a skin made.
Yeah,
you know, like a bus skin.
Oh yeah.
That'd be cool. Then we just swap out the skins.
Yeah.
Maybe Banksy will come in and he'll make it.
Maybe Mr. Brainwash.
I think. By the way, I think I saw Banksy. I think I saw the operation when I was walking at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Which one? The Crayola one or the dog peeing?
No, but I saw the truck, I think.
Oh.
Because I saw this white like bread van truck, just white. Everybody had hoods on. Everyone in black hooded sweatshirts. And in the back.
Black hooded sweatshirt.
the back door was open and there were lights on and there were people like
pulling out
large
like
sheets of things.
Mm.
I was like, I think that's Banksy.
You should have taken a whiff if you smelled wheat paste, which is horrendous.
All right.
Yeah, you would know.
Well, that's the end of our hour. We're at our hour for our next Hostful podcast. Next week, we will get a couple of these down.
We'll try.
Next Sunday, maybe we'll get a couple of these
Any recommendations for music, TV, or movies, Chris?
I just watched Crazy Heart the other night, and it was crazy good. And nice. I found out our pal Sarah Watkins played fiddle in for
Friend of the Show.
Nice. Friend of the Show, Sarah Watkins. I greatly enjoyed it. And we also watched half of Last House on the Left.
The new one?
Yeah, the new one.
With Ricky Lindholm?
With Ricky was in it, of Garfunkel and Oates. And it was, without giving too much away, we watched half the movie and then it was getting late, so we went to bed. And then the next day, Janet was like, I don't know if I have it in me to watch the rest of it. The movie is very compelling, but it is, as Janet described it, she said, maybe they could have pulled a couple punches. Like, it is a brutal movie. Yeah, like, at every turn.
The original was very.
At every turn.
Well, I think that the remake, I loved it. Like, you should sit through the second half.
Yeah, I will. No, I will. I don't want to give stuff away, but it's we stopped it like right when clearly the next
right before they got to the last house on the left.
They're at the second.
All right, this house is like there's one more. You want to go?
No, turn it off.
Okay, stop it.
All right, Matt, anything you're watching or listening?
I'm weirdly obsessed with this show on the Food Network called Restaurant Impossible, where Robert Irvine goes to a restaurant that's failing miserably and has $10,000, and they change it in 2 days.
Nice.
It's good. I don't know why I love it, but I love it.
How can you know if the restaurant succeeds in 2 days or not?
They have a little follow-up thing. It's produced by Mark Summers of Double Dare.
Yeah, yeah. And Unwrapped. That's cool. I'm still just watching Doctor Who.
It's
pretty much
be.
All I've been watching. Community has been kicking my ass lately. I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like that, Dan Harmon keeps on doing great work. And as far as music, there's a new band called Yuck, and I listened to their
Y-U-C-K
album.
Y-U-C-K.
And it's great if you like kind of the '90s teenage fan clubby kind of Sonic Youth poppy fuzzy kind of stuff. It's really 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 good.
Great. My music tastes are a little bit older than yours.
It's 90s. It sounds like a 90s band.
It does sound like a 90s band, because I was going to say, I just got the new, well, obviously the new Radiohead album came out this week. I got that.
How was it?
Mm-hmm. You know, like half the tracks I like, and it feels like a Tom York solo album to me. It's very, some of it's a little, a lot of it sounds like Tom's solo album, but bassier.
Yeah.
And so it feels a little frenetic for me in places. There are a couple, they're such a good band that I wish they would do some more of their older melodic
yes,
stuff.
Chris,
but,
start
you know,
doubting
my,
them. Yes,
fine.
Chris. This is where it starts, Chris. Start doubting the head.
I'm not doubting them. I'm not doubting them. And then also I found out, which I had no idea, but Crowded House put out an album.
Really?
Last year called Intriguer.
What?
And the only reason that I knew that is because I heard Neil Finn's voice on an episode of House. On Crowded House!
Is that how the episode ended?
No. I heard Neil Finn's voice. It was during, you know, one of their contemplative montages at the end of House where everyone soaks in the events of the episode.
Figure out how House's actions have affected you.
Exactly. how everyone's faring in life, you know. And so I was like, that sounds like Neil Finn. So I used the Shazam app, and then it popped up and they're like, Intriguer? What is that?
Wow. How is it?
It's fucking great.
Nice.
It is a great Crowded House album.
Wow, I love that Shazam will do that on a fucking TV show. Like, you'll put it up to your TV speaker and it works.
That's
amazing.
Really cool.
So, so that album I've really been enjoying as well. Mm-hmm. Crowded House.
Cool.
And then
been playing my guitar a lot more lately, which has been helpful.
We should do a song. Because you play drums, Jonah.
I do play drums, but not now.
Right.
We should do it.
Yeah, I posted a picture of my guitars last night.
And then two other songs.
I'll beatbox instead.
Two other songs that I've been enjoying. It's a song called Sleeping Diagonally from a group called The Six Part Seven. Nice. And Sleeping Diagonally is featuring Sam What's-Its from Iron and Wine.
Oh, I got Regina Spektor's Blu-ray, her concert Blu-ray, and it's really, really good.
Nice.
Good for you.
I love Regina Spektor.
What we're digging right now.
Yeah, that's what we're digging. Also, I caught a bunch of episodes of Walk in the Room podcast, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, Dave Anthony and Greg Barron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was listening to the Pod F Tomcast this week, and it was so
Well, that's just funny. A fucking great, so fucking great funny. Podcast. Yeah.
So there's a bunch of other stuff for you guys to consume out there.
Yeah. That's our recommendations.
And don't forget, while you're consuming it,
enjoy.
Tony, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.